Good morning, and welcome to Bible Deliverance. And thank you all for joining us this morning, and happy Sunday. I want to get right into the Word of God and pick up where we left off last week. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you for granting us another day. We thank you for shaking and waking us up this morning, oh God. We ask that you open up our hearts and our minds to receive your Word, oh God. Let it be applied to our spirit, O God, as we walk according to your will and your way. We give you honor and praise this morning. Amen, amen, and amen. Yes, and we are picking up right where we left off last Sunday. If you haven't had a chance to listen to last Sunday's message, I strongly encourage you to listen to it. Because as we delve deeper into the lessons in Eden, I want you to be able to embrace it all for the edification of your mind, your body, and your soul. Embracing the principles of these lessons will help you elevate godly discernment as you engage in actions and reactions and as you handle life's ups and downs. Because godly discernment will give you precision when making decisions and moving forward in life. Last week, we began discussing the elements of the universe, earth, wind, and fire. And as we explore these elements, we see, appreciate, and embrace the magnitude of God's power. We learned last week that earth was created from the vastness of water. With just a word from God, he set the boundaries around the waters, and he called forth vegetation and animals and established reproductive abilities linked to seed. God went to great lengths to prepare earth for us, the only creation that he created in his own image. Exploring the creation of earth is absolutely humbling and mind-blowing. See, we know Earth is a planet. However, when we study the Bible, we also learn of God's ultimate agenda and the spiritual symbolism associated with Earth. In the Bible, the concept of inheritance is deeply intertwined with the notion of land. Throughout the passages of the Bible, land is not merely seen as a physical terrain, but is laden with symbolic significance, representing promises, blessings, and tangible connection to God's covenant with his people. In the Old Testament, the land of Canaan was repeatedly referred to as the promised inheritance for the Israelites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Symbolically speaking, the land was not just a geographical location, but a sacred trust bestowed upon God's chosen people, a place where they could dwell securely and flourish under his divine protection. The promise God extended concerning an inheritance for the Israelites cognitively links to the earth's creation and how detailed God was concerning creating the earth so that it assured that it was equipped to provide for us. As we move forward in this series, we must address the other two elements of the universe. The next element that we want to address is air. Air is a force to be reckoned with. It is a powerful source that can be subtle, brazen, and downright disruptive. Have you ever paused long enough to appreciate air? We can't see it, but it's evident that it exists. We can't see it, but we can't live without it. Without air stirring in our lungs, they would become inoperable, and our very being could not exist. As a kid, how many of you had contests to see which of you could hold your breath the longest? And although some of you could hold your breath longer than others, no one can walk around too long without inhaling air or passing out. In Genesis 2, God set man's lungs on autopilot. The scriptures read, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Even when one passes out from the lack of air going through their lungs, the body, which was created to go into survival mode, begins to take over. And even in an unconscious state, the lungs begin looking for, expecting, and inviting air in. Why? Because the agenda and the power of God set a standard, making air necessary for life. Air is also an element that is in consistent motion. Air is driven by factors such as temperature, variations and of pressure and gradients, and the Earth's rotation. We take air's significance for granted, yet it is the fundamental component of wind. Wind can offer a gentle, refreshing breeze, or it can escalate into a powerful tornado. It has the capacity to disturb tranquil waters and unleash hurricanes. Though invisible, the power and authority of air is unparalleled. The first time air is even referred to in the Bible is in Genesis 1:26, and ironically, it is mentioned regarding God's creation of man. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all of the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground." The mention of the birds in the sky cannot be realized without the components of air. But more importantly, I want you to grasp the reality of God's love for mankind. When we talked about the earth, we explored the depth of what he did to assure the earth served and would edify mankind. And in this passage, God refers to the birds in the sky. And amongst those words are engulfed the very words that initiated God's mandate for us to rule over all he created. Before God created us, he spoke his agenda for man, which was for us to have authority that aligned with the element of air. This ultimately makes it possible for us, along with one of the most powerful elements of the universe, to shift atmospheres. When we dissect the elements of the universe, we unveil the magnitude of God's power. But we also have to embrace the power given to us by God. Some of you right now, under the sound of my voice, are uncomfortable in certain atmospheres in your life. And then there are others that are being unrighteously influenced by ungodly atmospheres. I want you to know this morning that the power that God has bestowed upon you can shift atmospheres. His breath in you is life. His breath in you is the wind you need to push you into, out of, and through different atmosphere. For a moment, I just want to talk to you about sound. Because sound is also something else we cannot see, but it is so dependent on the elements of air. Sound waves travel through air, allowing us to hear various sounds. The speed of sound in air depends on factors such as temperature, humidity, and other components of nature, which we can't actually see, but we are aware of their impact. In John 10, God declares, "My sheep know my voice." God's divine voice carries a unique and distinctive sound, echoing from the very moment of creation when God breathed life into humanity. just as the air quality can be influenced by the atmospheres. Those who walk closely with God find themselves uneasy in environments that lack God's presence, where the sound of His voice is not elevated. Our familiarity with God's voice makes us sensitive to anything that distorts its purity. False doctrines and anything that contradicts the word of God disrupts our spirit precisely because they deviate from the sound of God's truth. While we may not always be able to recite scripture verbatim, our hearts recognize the discord that is rooted in false doctrine when it comes to the Word of God. We discern the difference in sound because it lacks the authenticity of God's voice. I remember when the TV show Scandal was all the rage, and I should have known then, with a title like Scandal, that it would lead me astray. But I became a faithful fan of the show. Then one evening in my comfortable spot on my sofa, with my remote in my hand, I heard myself actually rooting for the affair of Olivia Pope, an affair that she was having with a married man. The sound of my own voice condoning such actions began to vex my spirit. Why? Because the God in me could discern the sound of what lacked the authenticity of God's voice. Atmospheres, the airspace in which we dwell, will send the tone for the vibration of sound, and how we embrace sound determines our movement. Let me break it down for you. You move differently, or you should move differently, to Christian and gospel music than you do to R&B and rock music. Why? Because sound determines our movement. Sound, an element of air, can shift atmosphere and impact our actions and reactions because air carries pollutants, contaminants, impacts air quality, human health, and even one's spirit. Let me tell you what else air does. It enables combustion, which manifests fire, which is the last of the three elements of the universe. There are practical uses for fire, such as cooking, food preparation, heating, lighting, protection, security, various craftsmanship tasks, including blacksmithing, land clearing, sending of signals, and communicating. All are things that we can utilize fire for, that makes fire a viable tool. Fire also holds profound symbolism throughout the Bible. The Bible shows fire as a form of purification and refinement. Just as fire purifies precious metals by removing impurities, it symbolizes believers' refining process in their spiritual journey. This concept is reflected in passages such as Malachi 3, verses 2 through 3, where God is depicted as a refiner's fire purifying his people. Fire has been known throughout the Old Testament to represent the presence and power of God, such as the burning bush encountered by Moses in Exodus 3, or the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites through the wilderness in Exodus 13. The fiery presence of God signifies His holiness, His majesty, and His authority. In the New Testament, fire symbolizes the empowerment and anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples in the form of tongues of fire, empowering them to preach the gospel with boldness and authority. This event marked the birth of the early church and the beginning of the spread of Christianity. Fire can also symbolize passion, zeal, and fervency in serving God. In Romans 12, believers are encouraged to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, allowing the fire of God's love to ignite their hearts and propel them into active service and devotion. Last but not least, fire is also associated with judgment and the consequences of sin. Throughout the Bible, fire is depicted as a means of divine judgment, such as the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19, or the coming of judgment that is described in passages like Revelation 20, 14 through 15. Fire serves as a symbol of righteous judgment of God upon unrighteousness. It's crucial that we understand that a loving God does not condemn people to hell. From the very beginning of creation, our loving God provided for us in every aspect. He formed the heavens and the earth. He separated the land from water. He breathed life into mankind. He made air an essential element for sustaining life. Through the combination of air and heat, fire became a tool that we have at our disposal. I want you to know that we serve a God who is truth. He is consistent in all of his ways. And because of his consistency, the physical elements of the universe mirror the spiritual realm. The Word of God is the foundation of all existence, while his Holy Spirit provides the very breath of life. With our gift of free will, we have the power to shape our environments. Also, be mindful that environments that stray from God's word and lack his Holy Spirit often become heated with sin and cannot sustain life as God intended. The absence of all life is death, which is separation from God. In the spiritual realm, there exist only two atmospheres, that of God and that of Satan. God's eternal home is the kingdom of heaven, while Satan's is hell. The choice between these two destinies is entirely ours to make. Our actions, choices, and the atmospheres that we cultivate will ultimately determine our eternal relationship with fire. It's a matter of how we utilize the airspace we've been given and whether we align ourselves with God's will or choose to follow a path that separates us from Him. I encourage you all to invite God and the Holy Spirit to dwell and be consistently present in your airspace, in your atmosphere, so that you are assured to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Lord, there are no words big enough or descriptive enough to express our gratitude for your creation, to express our gratitude for your gifts, your provisions, and the assignment that you have delegated to mankind. Lord, let each of us utilize our lives and our airspace in a manner that continuously expresses the love and the gratitude that we have for you. For you, O God, the great I am. Lord, let our ears and our hearts and our minds and our souls always hear your voice. Let your Holy Spirit always arrest any atmosphere in which we dwell. And let godly discernment guide us as to atmospheres and situations that are not of you. Lord, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. We give you glory, God. We give you honor. We give you praise. Amen. Join us next week as we continue this series, Lessons from Eden, with the topic, The Secret Sauce in the Ingredients of Mankind. Be blessed.
can praise Him. Come on, you can praise Him. Hallelujah. And God, we, Your people, are going to be obedient. As You decree, let everything that have breath give You the praise and give You the glory. Yes, God. We're so unworthy, Lord, but we stand in Your presence. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is the air.
This is the air.
Come on, the very air we breathe. He gave it to us, we didn't buy it. Come on, tell me. Come on, lift your hands to Him and tell Him. It's Your presence, Lord, Your Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, leading us and guiding us into all truth. Thank You, Lord, for it. We thank You for the gift. And not only that, when we talk about Your word, it's my daily bread. It's what I long for. And God, You said, he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. This verse just says, Your very word. Come on, tell Him today. Come on, say, spoken. This is the part that I love to declare. It says, and now listen to these words. It says, I'm desperate for You. Is there anybody here you just don't want Him, but you're desperate for Him? You've got to have Him. Sing it to Him again. And now I'm lost without You, Jesus. Lord, I was lost, God, once in the world, but now that You changed me, I've got to have You. Come on, sing this with us again. This is the air I breathe. Come on, I want you to sing it with us. This is the air I breathe. And because You sent Your Holy Spirit, Lord, thank You that it is. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, living in me as You are, Jesus. It's living in me, hallelujah. I'm connected to You and You're connected to me. And I tell You today that this is my daily bread.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah, Jesus. This is my daily bread. Yes, it is.
Jesus.
Lord, it is the truth of Your word that You've given us. Spoken to me, Jesus. Spoken to me. And if you're desperate for Him, I want you to lift your hands and tell Him. And I, come on, tell Him. I'm desperate for You, Jesus. Come on, if you're desperate for Him, lift both hands to heaven and open your mouth in the air. Tell them together, and I thank You, Jesus. I'm lost without You, Lord. Come on, Lord Jesus, we're lost without Your presence. We need to have You there, Lord. Come on, sing it again.
I'm desperate for You.
I need place without you. If you realize that you're nothing without him and you'd be lost, I want you to lift your hands right now and tell him this is the air I breathe. Breathe it in.
This is the air.
Come on, he's given us the ruach breath, the creative breath of God, as he did Adam in Genesis.
Jesus.
Come on, just breathe in now. Breathe in the air that he's given.
This is the air.
Oh, this is the air I breathe.
This is the air.
Come on, say it again. This is the air.
This is the air.
Come on, come on, come on. You drop out, group. I want to hear the singing sanctuary. Come on, congregation.
This is the air.
Come on, come on, sing it in this sanctuary. Come on, sing it.
This is the air.
Yes, Lord. Come on, say it again.
This is the air.
Glory. Glory.